Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Mike and Brian. And today we are going to be talking about the role of communication in the modern family. And today's special guest is Corey Wharton.
To our listening fam, we definitely appreciate you guys for giving us your feedback to the questions that we've been asking on our personal IGs, as well as Talking It Out BN's IG page. Make sure you go follow and subscribe. It's about communication in the modern family. So we're going to talk it out about a few of those.
I mean, I think the overall theme as far as communication, and especially with what we are going to talk about with Corey, is co-parenting. And I think that it's very key that at the end of the day, you focus on the child. You know, you want to avoid any type of negative interactions, and you just want to put aside all your differences when it comes to the parent. You know, be mature adults about it and do what's in the best interest of the child. That's what I pretty much take away from it.
I think that, of course, that goes without saying to be mature adults, but I think it's, you know, emotions get involved, right? I can't imagine being in love with this person, having a child with this person, and now this person is in a committed, loving relationship with someone else.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't gonna front. That would be extremely hard for me. I would have to, you know, dig deep and find some maturity and just be introspective and quite honestly grow in another level. I've never had to deal with that. I know my mom and my father have had to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I just more power to them, to be honest.
I mean, it's totally difficult. I mean, like you said, feelings are involved, and, you know, if you're single, you know, and they're over there having a great time, all lovey-dovey, and they're moving on with their lives, and then you got the kid involved, and the kid's getting involved with the other, with the your spouse's or your ex-spouse's partner or whatnot, that's really tough. But at the end of the day, the kids are very impressionable. If they're young, they're gonna see what the interaction is with you and your ex, and if it's toxic, if it's a toxic environment, I mean, you know, just because mommy and daddy can't get along, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they may grow up with all that baggage and it may affect them as an adult. And, you know, obviously you want, like, a goal of a parent is to provide a positive, nurturing and loving environment for their kids so they grow up to become, you know, successful, well-mannered and just put together adults.
You know, I remember being in a relationship, and I remember saying, my mom used to always say, treat people how you want to be treated, right? But I thought about when I was in that relationship, how can you treat somebody how you want to be treated when you never were treated how you want to be treated, right? And so I take that from a parenting aspect, because I know a lot of kids that have these parents that aren't necessarily, quote unquote, ideal parents, not because of anything financial or anything material, but just simply the way that they talk to their kids and things of that nature. And so I wonder if that has something to do with the way they were spoken to as when they were children and things of that. But I like what you said about kids being impressionable, because one of our audience members has said, and I quote, "With my stepson, I do my best to be a positive role model in his life and an additional support system for him. I also make sure to always be respectful when talking about his birth mom," end quote. And for me, that's huge, right? That's absolutely huge. I know, well, for one, my stepmom, we have a great relationship, and I have a great relationship with my mom, obviously, of course. But I know other people out there, they may be hearing the snarky comments from their parents about their other parent, right? And like these backhanded compliments and things of that nature. And that child, whoever that child has more of a trust with, will start to build up resentment for that parent that they're discussing. So that has to be hard in and of itself, because a child, you don't know what's right.
Yeah, it kind of puts the child in a difficult role of having to pick the parent to believe, pretty much. And it's just, that's probably one of the biggest keys, is you never want to put down your ex-partner in front of the kids. Like, you always want to speak positively of them. And, you know, you got to watch out, because a lot of times it's not just face-to-face communication with the kid. You may be talking on the phone with the relative and, you know, giving them all the tea about what your ex-partner did. And in the background, your kid's listening and they hear that too. So you just got to be careful at all times with how you speak about your ex.
You know, it ain't even just, I don't even think it's just speaking about your ex. This goes for the people that are the step parent to a child that isn't biologically yours, but you know, you've said, I'm going to love this child as if it were my own child.
Absolutely.
I know so many times they don't treat their stepchild just as good as they treat their birth child, right? It's almost as if, oh, you're the redheaded stepchild, right? Yeah. And that does things to those little kids, you know? It definitely does. And it plays a role in that regard. And it's just, we've heard the term the redheaded stepchild and how they must feel, right? Do you think they know? Like, if you, let's say Rachel had a child from a previous relationship.
Yeah.
And then you and Rachel have a child. Like, how do you love that child as much as you guys' own child? Of course you will, right? But then you have to make sure that you don't do any of these microaggressions. And I think some people don't even recognize what they're doing in the terms of that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I could totally see that angle because my dad was actually married prior to marrying my mom and he had 3 kids. So he basically came into the relationship with my mom with 3 kids and my mom had me. So, you know, she,
of course she loves you.
I mean, imagine she went through a lot. I mean, a man with 3 kids, I mean, that's some baggage for your ass.
First off, B100, your dad must have got some smooth words and your mama must be forgiven.
Yeah, he definitely had to do some work, but you know, she fell in love with him and you know, it was a very, you know, old school love, obviously, but you know, she loved those kids growing up, but at the same time it was hard because I mean I came out of her body, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just
that's what I'm saying, it gotta be
to
hard.
Her it felt different.
Yeah, like how, like, and I appreciate that angle, right? We as men obviously don't have that same connection as women do because we don't birth children, but
correct,
I can only imagine, like, if I'm a woman, even as a man, like, knowing that, yo, this kid is literally a part, my DNA is within this child, but then to love another child just as much, that takes I salute all those parents, all those step parents. I truly do salute them. The ones that don't give microaggressions or anything of that nature is definitely a salute to all of you out there in that. One of our fans also said, always speak in a way that you would be okay with being recorded. I found that to be a sermon. I was like, I don't know if I necessarily like that, right? I understand the standpoint on making sure you don't say something out of line, right?
Yeah.
But I don't ever want to feel as if I'm walking on eggshells with my child, right? How do you do that?
Yeah, but I mean, if at the same time, it's like if you don't show respect for that other person, your ex, I mean, there's a chance that it may be ingrained in his mind or her mind, and then she's going to go ahead and possibly disrespect the parent because it's like, oh, wow, if dad doesn't respect her, then, you know, why
that's
should
real.
I?
That sucks, bro.
Like, even if they're true, like, even if it's like, yo, for real, this is honest, you know, even if the comment is true, it's like, again, you're going to put that child in a position that
has
they're
going to
maybe
despise
the other person. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want that.
That has to be hard. I mean, imagine, let's say me. I don't want to say nothing bad against you. Let's say I was a Rolling Stone, right? Daddy was a Rolling Stone. Hey. I thought you had the second line.
Nah, bro, that's all you.
Let's say I was Rolling Stone, had like 6-7 kids or whatever. And like I got 6-7 baby mamas. I'm Future. I got 6-7 baby mamas.
Hey,
I got 6-7 kids.
My grandfather was a Rolling Stone.
Like, how do you expect that mother to not say something, right? Like, why? It's like, I almost want to say, why the
but
hell
at
I got
that
to
point,
protect
does
your
he
dumb
even,
ass?
At that point, does he even, I don't even think he has a say anymore. He's
like, yeah, like, why
did
she
am say?
I protecting
yeah, your, she's probably right.
Yeah, like, there has to come a certain point. It's like, why am I protecting your dumb ass? Like, these are the things that you've done. You know, I'm not going to say anything crazy, but at the same time, if my child asks where mama at, mama working. She been working. That's where she work at, son. Or this is she hasn't been home in 5 years because that's where she works at.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that what I'm trying to say is kids are curious, right? That's the beautiful thing about being a child. And how as a parent do you answer some of the questions that they ask about their parent that isn't there?
I mean, but don't you think that's a segue into the parents communicating and being like, look, our kid is going to have these questions. We need to basically come up with a game plan in order to best you know, answer those questions and raise this child in a good manner. So I think that's something where, now granted, the parents may not be on the best of terms, and that's not good either. But
I'm kind of getting to that point. Like, we all understand that in a perfect world, the way to co-parent is, you know, let's keep it 100, we're two adults, right? But how do you co-parent when one of the parents is a straight asshole?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's hard, right? Like, it genuinely is. It truly is. It's like any relationship. It's tug of war. And if we're both not tugging at it and trying to make it good, someone's going to fall down. Someone's going to fall into the mud, right? And so it takes two to tango to make a child, and it takes two to tango to raise a child. And so I just feel bad for those parents that got a deadbeat old other parent, right? Whether you're a woman or a man. Let me ask you this, bro. Ooh, I'm going to get in trouble from the fans.
Hold that thought. At the end of the day, though, like, I was actually doing some research on this. It's, you definitely want to encourage that child to have a healthy relationship with the other parent if possible. Like, obviously, what you said, if they're, you know, if they have a history of violence or drugs or alcohol abuse, obviously that's an extenuating circumstance. But there was a research that suggested that children do better after a divorce if they have positive and healthy relationships with both parents, which, I mean, I feel like is a given. But
yeah, I agree.
You know, so just to finish off on that point.
I like that you said that, because that's a lecture. That's a sermon for someone out there listening, right?
Yeah.
That are in a relationship solely because of the children. But if the relationship is tumultuous, then they may need to, you know, let that relationship go for the betterment of the child. So I appreciate you saying that.
I mean, think about it. If they're fighting constantly, like them growing up, and that's all this kid's hearing, you know, think about how they're going to be an adult. They're going to be very resentful towards them, and, you know, it's going to mess up their interpersonal relationships, and, you know, could lead them down a dark path. So, you know, the more harmonious, the more happy a home that they grow up in, like, regardless of whether they're the two parents are separated, if they see that, you know what, the parents did a great job with me, they love each other, even though they're not in love with each other anymore, and they both have their own separate lives with other people, you know, they still come together to love me as much as possible. I think that's the way to go.
I think that teaches something so much in the child, like, about actions, right?
Yeah.
It teaches
maturity.
Respect. Yeah, maturity, respect. Right? Like, as a child becomes an adult and they see the dynamic, they're like, oh, wow, okay, I'm understanding now. Because you can't, some things you're not going to tell a child, or they just may not understand. But when they grow up and they see the dynamic that you guys have, that's a lot of respect in that regard.
I was going to ask you, bro, but I don't know if you want to get into it, but, like, obviously you grew up in a female dominant household. As far as, like, just getting to know you a little bit more and getting our audience to know you a little bit more, like, growing up, like, who were the male figures in your life that helped you become the amazing man that you are today?
Appreciate that. I'm trying to grow into amazing. I mean, my dad was around, right? But there were points and times where we didn't live in the same state. But then there also were times where we did live in the same state, right? He's military, so you know that, you know, when you're military, you gotta do what you gotta do. So for me, I would say my mom dated this one dude for like 2-3 years. And then I just had an abundance of cousins, of male cousins, right? And I just watched what my cousins would do. But then also my mom tried to, like, almost not allow us to see our cousins as much. She wanted, that was her way of protecting us in some kind of way, because I grew up in necessarily environments you may not want your child to grow up into, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I think my mom wanted to shelter us and protect us in that regard. And so there it was just instinct, like, on what to do. Like, there's this whole argument about, can a woman raise a man, right? And I think the answer is yes, right?
I was about to ask you that. Like, do you feel like your mom took on both roles?
My mom was very stern. She is very stern. And I think that in itself helped quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think having a younger sister that looked up to me helped even more, right? So if I were to do something, I remember one of my homies, I ain't gonna say his name, I came over to his house. He was sleeping with this girl downstairs. And when I say sleeping, they weren't actually asleep, right? And
okay.
I said, bro, you got sisters upstairs right now. I said, your sisters are literally gonna be watching you. And so for me, to have a little sister, I think, helped out quite a bit into becoming the man I am today.
Because like you had to set an example.
Yeah, to me, it was an example type thing, right? I want to be an, now, if I was just, if it was just me and some younger brothers, shit, I'd probably be totally different.
Seriously, yeah. No, just I totally feel you on that. Totally feel you on that.
What about you? Because you grew up kind of in a similar environment.
I mean, honestly, bro, my siblings didn't come over till, I mean, my sister, she was here. Because here's the thing. I mean, you couldn't ask for a more opposite situation because my dad married a German woman, right?
Okay.
An Austrian woman, excuse me. And, you know, very, very serious. And then divorced. They got divorced. They had three kids who all my brothers and sisters lived in Europe. And then he got divorced and then married my mom, who's like a little firecracker, like totally opposite. And then they only had me. So for the most part, like growing up, like when I was really young, I was the only child. So, yeah, I mean, I, you know, growing up in a Hispanic household, you know, they showered me with love and affection. I mean, yeah, I was probably spoiled a little bit, you know, in my earlier years. But then my siblings started coming over and they actually were grew up in the States. So my sister lived with us and then my brother came over maybe like just before high school. So, yeah, man, it was like I finally had those siblings and those, you know, other people besides the adults, the real adults, like my parents in the picture to kind of like follow. And, you know, I just latched onto them. I grew up and loved everything that they did, their music, everything they did, you know, soccer. Yeah. I got into soccer with them. I mean, it was amazing growing up.
I remember seeing my dad during the summer times. And I think that was very helpful as well. Bro, I could not imagine being a single child. I oh Lord, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, no, it's not tough, I'm not gonna say, because at the end of the day, it's like I got all the attention, you know what I'm saying? Especially like when my siblings weren't around. I mean, it was crazy because I would always get jealous. I remember when I was really little, my brothers would come over from Europe. And of course, my dad hadn't seen them in forever. So they would come over for like weeks at a time. Maybe they would stay a month. And I was super happy that they were coming because I, you know, I got to play with them and I got to enjoy with them. But at the same time, my dad would show them a ton of love, you know, because they're only there for a short amount of time and they were going back. Like he had me year round. So I remember I would just get so jealous because he would want to hang out with them more. But I was a little kid. I didn't understand. You know what I mean? It's like as an adult, it's like, duh, it's like that's how it should be. But, you know, as a little kid, it's like, wait a minute. I just went from getting all the love to now you're like spreading it around. I don't know about this. I don't like this.
Yeah,
but it's totally understandable.
I can see that definitely from a single child, bro. I think that my child won't have to suffer being the only child. But let's get into it, bro. You know, today we're talking about the role of communication in the modern family. Who else better to talk to than the person who is definitely in a modern family of the 2020s, the one and only Corey Wharton from MTV's every single show they got on there. The veteran, the OG Corey of MTV. Let's go. Right. You're the first MTV person we had on, so congrats. I wish we had a rose, you know, we'll give you a
rose. There we go. A little bit of that bachelor action. I like that.
Yeah, we'll give you a rose.
But no, man, thank you guys for having me. Thanks for the opportunity. And yeah, man.
Absolutely. So, Corey, we want to basically discuss the role of communication in the modern family. That's basically our subject for today.
It's
so
everything. Communication is everything, man.
That's everything, man. So I want to start off with, I had read that your ex and the mother of your first daughter, she said that you guys have mastered co-parenting. All right. So talk about that. Talk about your success and give us advice for other couples out there to be successful with co-parenting.
What's the 1, 2, 3?
So, yeah, I wish I had that answer for everybody, but I'll be a rich man. My biggest thing is, right, I'm going to talk on my experience and my relationship with co-parenting and kind of how we got to where we are now, right? Cheyenne said we mastered it. You know, I'm not scared to say the same. I feel like we do a hell of a job. And I always like to tell people me and Cheyenne's story is a little bit different because we never were in love. We never dated. You know, so I'm talking to that side of co-parenting. It would be a lot different if, you know, I dated Cheyenne and we were sitting there texting each other, I love you, going on dates and this and that. you know, God just blessed me with a beautiful daughter. We had a good time in New York before our reunion. And now I have the biggest blessing of my life, you know, with Ryder and then my newest one, Mila. So I would just say, man, yeah, me and Cheyenne, we just communicate. We always try to put Ryder first. And it's going to get messy. You know what I mean? I don't want people to look at my Instagram and look at hers and be like, oh my gosh, everything's always great. You know, it's not. We have to have those serious talks. You know, we have those awkward moments when she's like, hey, Corey, I'm dating somebody else. This person is going to be in my household around your daughter. He will be sleeping in my house. He might not be sleeping in bed with us, but he's sleeping on the couch. And me as a man, it took me a while to adjust, right?
Can you talk about prideful. That before?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I was very prideful. So when that first came across, I wanted to talk to my dad because he's been in that situation before. I wanted to talk to people who have been there because that's how I want to soak up the knowledge. And I just had to put my pride aside. You know, I talked to him. I made sure that he seemed like a good guy and whatnot. And it's almost like I had to put my faith in Cheyenne, knowing that she's such an excellent mother that she's not going to ever put my daughter in harm, you know? And that's something that I feel like over time I had to prove to her, that I would do the same, you know? So, yeah, I'm getting off pace, but yeah.
No, that's good, bro. I mean, you made a good point. Something that I think that we all could do and we can find wisdom in that. Something that when we don't know the answer to it, we go to someone that we love and trust. Like you said, you went to your father about it. So that's not, you're not going off pace, bro. That's just real talk, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about, I like how you was straight up and you said, you know, Cheyenne and I weren't in love. You know, we never truly dated. I don't know the ins and outs of your relationship with her. And so I think that does change things a little bit with how she may date with a new guy and how your pride still may be there. Just as we all got a little ego, but it's not necessarily, it's going to be as big because y'all never fully dated. How is that?
Right.
How is that relationship between Cheyenne and your current girlfriend now? How does that dynamic work? Was that ever...
So my biggest thing is, you know, I've only brought one female around Ryder, and that's been Taylor. I've dated Taylor for the past like 3 years. And ever since I told Taylor about Ryder before I kind of like introduced to the world that, hey, I have a daughter, because I found out Ryder was mine when Ryder was 6 months old. We had the DNA test done. Boom. Found out. Had to go on the show called X on the Beach. Did that. That's when I met Taylor. So on the show, I was like, just so you know, I have a daughter that the world doesn't know about yet. You know,
hold
I
on,
just
hold
found
on, hold
out
hold
about
hold
it 2 weeks
back,
ago.
Back. Let me unravel it right, because I never watched that show. Yeah. Like, hold up. You said you found out that you have Ryder 6 months after...
Ryder was born.
After she was born. Then you had to immediately leave for a show?
I was already scheduled, already signed the contract to go on the show called X on the Beach.
How does that affect you mentally,
So I was faced with this... it affected me, but at the same time, I didn't even jump into that world quite yet because I was only a dad for about 13 days before I left. So it was all new. And I knew, like, after I get back from filming this show that, okay, I'm a father. You know what I mean? Like, so it was a lot, man. It was a lot going on at that time. But just back to how my girlfriend always had my back, you know, I told her about, hey, I got a daughter that no one knows about. She was like, I love it. I want to meet her. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm not with the mother, but it is what it is. And she stood by my side through it all.
And what's that like for, you know, as a father explaining to the daughter, you know, or a son out there, whoever it is, like, how do you go about that and telling them about you're bringing somebody new into the picture?
I think for me, it's like when you're dating somebody else.
Yeah, like,
are you saying?
Like, you brought Taylor on and you told Taylor she was all about it, but like, now you got to tell Ryder about Taylor.
Right. So, luckily for me, I've only brought Taylor around Ryder since she's been in Ryder's life since Ryder was 7 months old.
Okay.
You know, so there wasn't any, there wasn't a talk that needed to be had. She was too young.
There
was
like a transition period that had to take place.
Yeah, it wasn't. As soon as like, you got now back from it would be different. Okay. Ryder's smart now. So, like, if I were to date somebody else, I would have to have this conversation with Ryder and kind of break it down to her as much as you can to a four-year-old. You know, she's only four. But at the same time, I want to make sure that she knows because she is very smart. I get to see Ryder every Friday through Monday. And then she goes to her mom's house Monday to Friday. And we've kept the same schedule since she was born. And it's made everything pretty natural. Like, honestly, like if Cheyenne's going on vacation, she'll hit me up. I'm gone these weeks. Bet I'll have Ryder, you know. If we're going on vacation, okay, she can watch Ryder. We're very relaxed parents. We're on a very like text base. Okay, hey, can you watch Ryder Friday? Da, 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 da. You know, so I think another part of co-parenting is consistency. And I'll talk about that real quick. And that's just, like I said, with Ryder's schedule, Ryder knows every Friday you're going to your dad's house and every Monday you're going back to your mom's. You know, we've kind of kept the same schedule since she was little. And I feel like that's contributed a lot to her growth and who she is as a person. And she's smart for only being four. She understands a lot. But yeah, just consistency. I think that's key in co-parenting.
And what about, so like with Cheyenne, I mean, obviously you guys started, you know, there wasn't a whole, it sounds like you, there wasn't a whole lot of feeling there initially. So has it been, you know, when you're interacting with her, is it mainly all about Ryder and you guys stick to that? Like you're consistent in that way, or does, I mean, do feelings like, sometimes get involved there?
It's never that, but we're like best friends. Shy's like a dude. Like I'll kick back and say a joke and we'll laugh about it. Like for real, like she'll tell you that. Like she's really cool. Like we make a great team. We make a great team. It's never any of that. Like I'm super happy for her. She's pregnant, about to have another baby in a happy relationship. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yes, because when she wasn't with anybody, you know, I was catching a lot of those blows. So I'm just glad that like she can be happy. She deserves happiness. I want to see nothing but the best for her. And, you know, I'm happy we got to that point.
Corey, that made me think about mom. Like when she was single, I'm like, yo, can you just get a boyfriend or a husband? Because I ain't trying to be the one that you got to deal with. You know,
you need a distraction.
Right?
Yeah, like get Chosa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead. Somebody come get my mom's, man.
I appreciate you saying that. So, like, when Cheyenne was single, how did you handle the – and this is for our audience members. Brian and I don't have children as of yet. Like, how did you
– right.
And, I mean, no one wants to have – to co-parent. I'm sure you didn't think of that either. Like, it's not something that say, hey, I want to do this, right? So like, what would be your advice on dealing with Cheyenne and Taylor and merging that together?
Respect. It's simple. It is very simple. Respect. You know what I mean? I make sure everybody in this whole thing, because there's a lot of moving pieces in my life. I make sure everybody respects each other. That's all that I ask. You know what I mean? Like, if there is a problem, we'll sit down, talk about it. And everyone does a good job, man. I can't sit here and act like I'm taking all the credit. It's just, you know, Taylor shows Cheyenne respect. Cheyenne shows Taylor respect. You know, for holidays, me and Taylor, we don't have family in LA, and Cheyenne's family is very welcoming. So like, we'll go over there for a good Thanksgiving meal, or we keep it real open, man, honestly. And a lot of people find it weird, and it is weird, but I'm okay with being weird, right? It works for us. So as long as my daughter Ryder's happy, smiling, enjoying herself, and Taylor's happy, and everyone's happy, man, it's working for us.
Hey, one of my favorite R&B artists, he got a song called "What's Normal Anyway," right, by Miguel.
Yeah, who's that?
It's by Miguel. What's normal anyway, right? That's what's normal in your household. As long as your daughters are happy, that's what it is, right? So I get that for sure.
I mean, if we had this podcast about 5 years ago before I had kids, I would be answering some of these a little differently, right?
We'd be asking you a whole different set of questions, though, too.
Well, I was going to say, we all were at a different point.
I was a yellow young buck.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Hey, Corey, so you're like a veteran on MTV. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, you've been on many a show. Yeah. How does the communication work when you got to go for a show? Because I mean, I imagine you're away from your family for a month, 2 months at a time. I mean, you know, if you go far and whatnot. So how does that work out?
Yeah. It works. You know, basically, on the show, The Challenge, you basically leave for 2 months if you make it all the way to the finals, right? Films twice a year. So you have the possibility of being gone for 4 months out of the year, which for me is just too much. It's too long for me to be out of my daughter's lives. So I limit myself to about one challenge a year. And then the beauty in shooting Teen Mom is that it's shot in your living room. So I still get to shoot the show, but I'm spending time around my daughters. And I'm not leaving home. So The Challenge is definitely more rough because, I mean, you're going to a different country. You don't have a cell phone. I get one 10-minute phone call a week. You know, like, it's tough. And it really hit me deep this time when I came back. I'm telling you, man, you feel like you're locked up. And this time I really felt it with my youngest, because she was only 4 months when I left. Oh, let me stop before I put my foot in my mouth. But
what was that, bro?
Yeah, I just noticed. No, when I got back from the challenge, I could just tell that you know, she didn't recognize me at the airport, and that really like hit me.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, you know, I've been gone for X amount of months, and you were only this old when I left. So like, I understand, but it took her like a week or two to warm back up to me. Yeah. And it just kind of messed me up a little bit. So it's hard. It's hard on everybody, but we all try to do the best we can. That's how I bring home the bacon. Yeah. So I got to keep doing it. I
mean, if you're there
it,
for
know?
2 months, that must mean you got far, yeah. Which obviously is good for the pocket.
Talk to me about, like, I don't have children yet. I'm 33 years old, and neither does Brian. Yeah. Like, just as the homies, right? This is the Male Psyche Podcast. B100, yeah. Like, what changes? Outside of a couple of dollars that you lose, sure. Let's be 100. You got less dollars in
the pocket. Is that a playpen? Are there toys right there?
You definitely do a little remodeling around the crib.
Toys right there. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it becomes, you got to make sacrifice, warehouse. Man. You got to make sacrifice for your girls or boys, whoever it is, your kids, you know? It's not about me anymore. It's about them, you know? And I want to give them the best life that they can. And the sooner you realize that, the better you are off, and you just gotta roll with the punches, bro. You're not gonna be perfect every day.
How is it being a girl dad, y'all?
What
like, because I feel like girls are different than boys, right?
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I wanted a son on this.
He said, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted.
She's gonna be watching this in a couple years.
Yeah, man. So I gotta keep trying. But I love being a girl dad. I get to be cute with them, I get to be soft with them. We're playing like a tea party, we're playing with Barbies, like, and that, there's something special about a bond between a father and his daughter that, like, I already feel it. It's deep. I mean, yeah. I'm gonna love my son, I'm gonna punch him in the chest, but the bond I have between my daughters is, like, it's deep. So, you know, we'll keep trying, though. I'm 2 for 2.
For sure,
I'm a girl,
man,
dad.
For sure. You'll get there.
What they say, you never know true love until you have a child.
Dude, like I was that. About to say that. Oh, like, fact. My parents tell me all the time, it's like, you're not going to know how much we love you until you have a kid. So, like, how did that change you inside? Like, how did, like,
it's a different
the second
type
you
of
had
love,
that
though,
kid?
Right? So, like,
yeah.
Yeah. The second, it's a different type of love. You know, I love my girlfriend in like a romantic, I love you, baby, do anything for you. But when you have your blood, like your own kid, it's something I can't even explain. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's different. I know you guys hear this from everyone. I don't have the words to wrap my head around what that love is. But, you know, I'll do anything for my daughter. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what's I can't imagine,
yeah, man.
Being a girl dad. You know, all the homies be like, yo.
Yeah.
You're going to have this type of child. You're going to have a boy. You're going to have a girl, or whatever the case may be. Did your homies always tell you was going to have girls, or how was that?
I've been told I'm having a girl. Bro, the way that you treat all these women out here, you're going to have girls. Just watch.
It's in the cards for you, bro.
Boom. God bless me with two perfect little daughters. Like, they're both gorgeous. And, oh, man, my hands are going to be full. I already know. I already know. So, yeah.
So talking about
we both probably have daughters.
I'm down for anything, man. Boy, girl, whatever.
No, that's true, though. Like, Corey, that's true. Corey was like, the homie said, you're going to have girls, and then boom, you got two girls, two beautiful women.
Yep.
So, Corey, we've all been on reality TV, bro, you know, and eventually the truth of the matter is that all our kids are going to see stuff on the internet of what we did back in the day. I remember I have stuff that I regret that I did on TV. Mike, I don't know about you.
Bruh,
Corey, yeah, maybe you did some good stuff, maybe you did some bad stuff, but what advice, like, what's that teaching moment going to look like once your daughters are of age and can actually figure out what did daddy just do there? Or what, you know, I read this article or
listen,
that article, how's
listen,
it going to go?
Fellas, I was a saint. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I was a saint. I don't know what y'all are talking about, but I was perfect. Nah. I mean, when that time comes, I just tell Ryder and I tell Mila, like, daddy wasn't perfect. look at my dumbass over here acting up. You know what I mean? Like being stupid. Like daddy made mistakes. That's okay. You live and you learn. You know, it's a very easy teaching point for me. I don't want my girls to grow up thinking that they have to be perfect. No, this is how your dad, you know, from 22 to now me being 29, I've been on television. So like I grew up on TV. I can sit back and literally say in my 20s, I grew up on television, you know, almost on TV for a decade. That's crazy. So I just let them know that daddy wasn't perfect. So don't think you have to be perfect and I'm going to love you either way.
That's wild, bro. I don't know if I would. More power to you, homie. I don't know if I would want to do that. 22 to 29.
Yeah, bro. I was.
Yeah, I did the real world when I was 22.
When I was that age, man.
Yeah.
What? Oh man, the whole different mindset. But you gotta, you have to go through that stage. You have to go through that stage. I just happened to do it on national television, so it's a little different. But you know,
a little bit, just a little bit.
You gotta have fun with it, man. You gotta live your life, and that's what I did. So,
how you gonna when the girls get like into dating ages? Like me as a, I don't have children yet, but me,
they're
that's all
dating.
I'll be thinking about.
They're dating, bro.
Gonna be like Mike Lowry and Martin and Bad Boys just
it's
at the door.
Weird. You guys don't understand. I have people that DM me and they're like, hey, my son's 4 years old. He loves watching Ryder on TV. They would be so cute together. And I'm like, what? Are people already auctioning?
That's crazy.
They're auctioning off their kids for my daughter at the age of
wild.
Four. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I got to ask.
But,
I got to ask. You, that's a wild concept. Like,
you guys know the DMs we get. Oh, man. Yeah.
But we don't have children, though, so that's,
yeah,
that's just
we don't get that type
wild.
Of DM,
right.
But
right.
That's just wild. Yeah, I just always wanted to know. I thought teen mom, like you said, you're 29. Like, at what point do you cannot
crazy,
be
bro.
On the show no more? Like, as a teen, like.
I don't know.
18, 19?
Until they stop calling, baby. Until they stop calling, baby.
They need those updates, man. They want to see
I'm
the
be
kids
42
grow up.
On that teen mom.
I mean, I'll tell you guys real quick, like, they needed us on the show. Not our dynamic and our story was very crucial to what the franchise was trying to do at the time. They didn't have any black families on the show. And not only that, but a black family seen in a positive light was major for them. And when we talked to them about that and told them what we could bring to the network and what dynamic we bring, they were sold. They were like, we would love to have you on the show. So I think we started the show when Shy was like 24. I started the show when I was like 26. So yeah, the whole teen mom, I never thought I'd be on 16 and pregnant. That's where this show started.
Oh, that's where you,
there. Yeah, so 16 and pregnant, like all the girls on Teen Mom OG started from 16
Teen
and pregnant.
Mom OG.
Now they're
they added the OG.
Teen Mom OG. And so they were just like, Farrah left the show. Farrah Abraham left the show. And that's
when we joined the show. Who's favorite? I don't. Was she a
teen? She's popular in that franchise. Yep.
Okay. I just don't know her. So
no,
that's crazy you say that, bro.
I don't even
bro.
Like her. So
I don't know the chick. I'm like, I don't know nothing about this individual. Like, because, you know, we come from The Bachelor. We just had Matt James. He's the first black bachelor ever, right? Salute to the
It
homie.
Was weird that they picked him, though.
Why you
that
say
was
that?
Weird to me. I think they should have, because he wasn't, like, from the franchise, right? Like, they went outside of the franchise.
He was, like, indirectly from the franchise. He was, like, best friends with pretty much the most popular guy in the franchise. So, and the most popular girl. He was best friends with both of them, so.
Who is you going to say you think they should have chose? Do you watch the show?
I mean, go ahead, bro. The people wanted to see you.
My choice, bro.
I mean, I just think they should have chose somebody who did The Bachelorette because that's kind of how the show goes, is my understanding. So I think, but either way, you know, power to Matt, man. I'm real happy for him. He's setting a trend. He's doing it the right way. And, you know, it's good to see, man. It's good to see.
No, definitely so. When we had him on our show, since like, and you already know, bro, like you got to deal with like trolls, haters, things of that nature. For him to be the first black bachelor during like the Trump administration, all the things that took place last year, it was just wild. And so we had to ask him, like, how does it feel basically represent for that community, right? And you said they needed y'all on your show because like they needed beautiful black family. How does that for you? Like, how was there any pressure on your shoulders or your Cheyenne shoulders or Taylor shoulders?
I've never felt like it was pressure because I'm always going to be myself. I'm just here to share my side. This is my story. This is me. I'm not here to, you know, say this is the only way to do it or the way we're doing it is right, but this is how we are doing it. And I just hope I could help people down the road. I try to lead kind of by example. And I just think it's good, man. I just think it's good to have a positive Black family, have the spotlight like Cheyenne and I do. And it's just good, man. Honestly, you know, I'm super proud of the network and it just feels good, man.
All right, yo. All right.
Corey. I have to.
You've been yeah. fun, but let's get into this rapid fire right quick, yo. What's the best TV show you've ever been on?
The Real World.
Real World. Okay.
Changed my life, made me analyze who I am as a person, and I grew a lot from that show.
Best advice for anyone wanting to go on reality TV.
My best advice for anyone trying to go on reality TV is, one, you got to be yourself, and two, you miss every shot you don't take. You know, if I never sat on my computer and put in 150 words to the Real World page, I wouldn't be where I am today. You know, so you got to take that shot, man. You're going to miss every shot you don't take. So keep shooting.
There you go.
Nice, nice, nice. Let's keep it a little, have it be a little bit softer. I'm trying to get you vulnerable so I can hit you right quick, right? That's how I learned from ETV.
Oh, okay.
All right. What's
all
the
right.
cutest things that your daughters do?
The cutest thing, I love watching them play together. You know, that's kind of new. Mila just laughs at anything Ryder does. Ryder could be sitting there doing a dance and Mila's cracking up at her. Like, you could just tell that sister connection that they have. And yeah, it's got to be when the girls interact with each other, for sure.
All right, next one is, I don't want to get you in trouble now, but would you ever be the bachelor if they asked you?
If I want my head taken off my body. And if I don't want dinner tonight, I'm not going to answer that. But, you know, nah. I mean, I wouldn't really fit.
Hypothetically, you're single. You're like, single, yeah, hypothetically?
Yeah. Yeah. Still, I want my dinner tonight, buddy. Nah, I really want to go on Survivor, man. I'm a big show of that. I'm a big fan of that show. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, speaking of Survivor, let me ask you another one. Three things that you could take on that deserted island, what would you choose? Think like Naked and Afraid.
Three things. Oh, yeah. Naked and Afraid all day. I'm going to take a fire starter. Okay. I'm going to take a tarp. And then I'm going to take, I've seen people do some weird things with duct tape, but I'm not good with duct tape like that. But I'm going to take probably some sort of net. So I'm going to be eating my salmon or my fish. I'm going to stay dry during the night, and I'm going to have my fire. And I'm good to go, man.
There you go right there. You heard it first. Corey, appreciate having you on, bro.
Heard it first. Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming on.
Make sure you guys check out Double Agents. Make sure y'all go check out that YouTube. I need those YouTube subscribers, man. The Wharton family on YouTube. We got new videos coming out. And go ahead and follow the Instagram. And appreciate you, fellas. Thank you, guys.
Sure. All right, bro. Take care, man. Yeah.
Have a good one, homie. I think we need more time with Corey because he's been on TV, what, for 8 years now? He's like, he's
22
media
to 29.
Yeah, he's very, very media trained. And I appreciate it because I want to learn from it. But at the same time, I'm like, bro, I know it wasn't that good to, or that easy, shall I say, to intertwine the co-mingling of the relationships. I wanted us to learn and, you know, and our fans to learn.
To all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. And we have to give a big thanks, of course, to Corey Wharton. Corey, thanks for being so open with us today, buddy.
Definitely. So I appreciate that. You know, we always love to hear your opinions, your stories, and your insights. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow, message us on social at Talking It Out BN. That's at Talking It Out B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation, on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, baby, come on now. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Wondery app, or wherever you listen to right now. And if you're a real one, don't DM me no more, baby. Subscribe.